Bit and it.
That is.
Mm.
There we are.
So, we're here at Halsey Manor today, and I'm interviewing Paul Hutchinson, who's running the Playford course here, and he's agreed to talk to us a little bit about his involvement in music. So, Paul Hutchinson, I'm Gibby Swain. The date is the 25th of...
March
2015. We're at Halsey Manor, so it's just the two of us, and I don't know my interview record number, but hey. So, Paul, it's really nice you agreed to talk to me today. Really, back to your early stirrings of music and your life. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. Well, I was brought up in Bournemouth, and from about the age of six, I had piano lessons, which I think I was quite an early developer, really, because I seemed to get to a reasonably high level quite quickly. And so I did piano, and I went through all the grades on piano, and then I became a church organist. And I suppose that has some bearing on the way I play accordion nowadays. But church organ, and when I was around about 13, so while my brother was doing paper rounds, I was only more for doing one service on a Sunday, so it was great. And so I did that through to about the age of 17. Around about that time, my father, Ted Hutchinson, had his own band called the Blueberry Bees, and they were based in Bournemouth. And he decided he wanted to become a caller, and so he asked me if I would lead his band and to learn to play the accordion. So he lent me his accordion. And initially, I played for a Morris dance team called Twine and Morris, who were based in Christchurch. And then I ended up playing for a rapper team called Raffley Rapper in Bournemouth, and a clog dance team called Wessex Woods, also in Bournemouth. So I started playing accordion at that time. My first involvement with folk until that time had been, I was taken along to, very reluctantly taken along, I have to say, to a dance at Oakmead School when I was 10 years old, and the band turned out to be the Yetties, but they were called the Yetminster Boys Band or something then. Pete Shuttler, who sadly recently died, only played accordion with his right hand, and it was a bit of a shambles, really. But I just remember thinking, oh, if these young lads can play this sort of music, I would have a go as well. So even at the age of 10, I had a feeling for folk music. So when my father gave me the opportunity to play accordion, I thought, why not? So I taught myself. And I taught myself all the bad habits. And I've been playing only for a while, and I could already play all the tunes because my right-hand technique was perfect. My left-hand technique, I did what all accordionists did at the time, was a sort of on-par bass. And for a long time, I thought that was all there was to it. And I formed a band called the Old Pull and Push around about the age of 17, and I had two members of the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, believe it or not, playing with the band, and just as something to do on a Saturday night for them, which was a complete change to classical music. So the Old Pull and Push was born, and quite soon we gained a sort of reputation for our rather anarchic sense of humour. The drummer, for example, used to dress up in silly clothes, and we got invited to Sidmouth because we played at a folk club in Bournemouth, and John Dowell, who was running Sidmouth, happened to be there and gave us the invite to Sidmouth. And Sidmouth, we got Chippenham Festival and Chester Folk Festival, and suddenly we got more and more work. So that's how that evolved. The Old Pull and Push recorded a record, which is a very unusual thing to do in those days. I mean, now everyone records CDs, but that was our first recording. We went down to Bognor Regis to record it. So we played for concerts and dances. And I suppose dances are our main thing. We played for a lot of PTA dances because PTA dances were very popular back in the 70s and 80s. And so we cut our teeth playing for PTA dances and young farmers and weddings and so on. And so by the time we got to Sidmouth, we were a pretty tight band. We knew what we were doing. And I think one of the first callers we worked with, I'm now told, was Sheila Mannering. And she became quite important to us later on. But at the time, she was a novice caller. I don't mean she was a nun. I mean, she'd never called before. And so we helped her through her very first dance at Sidmouth. And so later on, I thought she owed me a favour in return, which I used. So that was the open push, really.
Can I just ask you?
Yeah.
What was the name of that record?
It was called Velocipede. Velocipede.
Right. Yes.
I think there must have been a song on it called Velocipede somewhere on the album. I have still got the album somewhere, but I'm not quite sure where. But so that was the album.
And the members of the BSO, was it?
I had two members. Yes. I had Lyndon Thomas. Lyndon Thomas played double bass, and he now comes to Halsey every now and again. He writes a lot of music, and he comes with his wife, whose name completely escapes me at the moment, but it will come back
Mrs.
to me.
Mrs. Thomas.
Yes, that would be it. Margaret Thomas. Margaret. Did you delete the bit where I didn't know her name?
No,
Margaret
no.
Thomas.
This is live.
Anyway, so Margaret Thomas also came from Bournemouth, and she, so that was Lyndon Thomas, and so that, he was in our orchestra, and occasionally we had other members because we knew them all. They used to drink in our local pub. So that was that. Yeah.
So a double bass and fiddle player?
Double bass, fiddle player was Sue Thomas, who was then married to Lynn, Lyndon. And she's still around, she lives in Guildford, and she teaches violin. And who else? Bob Smith, who's still around in Bournemouth. Steve Limburn, who still runs the old Bun and Push. And we had a chap called Richard... that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah,
Rosser. Richard Rosser. Who, as far as I know, is still alive. But he played violin with us as well. So when Lynn and Sue left, we replaced them with other members. So. Oh, and Peter Kettlewell played with us.
Oh.
Kettlewell's quite well known.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. Oh, well, going back further, I remember we had a visit when I was at youth club from Peter Dashwood. Now, that might be a name some people remember. He was our local area, in the days when EFTAS could afford local area reps. He came to our youth club and taught us how to do broom dancing and Morris dancing and stuff like that. So, and I can't believe, I hope it still goes on, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's where, again, we had some input from. Also, when I was 16, I think, I also look back at Sidmouth Festivals. I think I've done every single job going there. Because my father ran the foreign dance hostel at the school there, and so I went when I was 16 and spent a week putting up camp beds with Anthony Brunt and a team of us. Yeah, well, we all went around setting up beds in the days when, of course, who's it who set this up?
Bill Rutter.
Bill Rutter. Bill Rutter was running Sidmouth. So we ended up, you know, putting beds up one year. Another year I helped with jobs like heating the boilers for the showers, which were at the rugby club. I've also stewarded on the campsite. I have done every job. And, of course, now I'm lucky enough I get invited to play and I don't have to do any of those grubby jobs anymore. But I have done them all. I've done every single job.
Initiation.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Sidmouth. So
yes.
I think around about my late 20s, I had a break from it all. I think I'd had enough. I mean, the old Pull and Push were incredibly busy because we, in the days when there were lots of, say, PTAs, were every Friday and Saturday. We also have residences at hotels in Bournemouth. So we used to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then PTAs on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, another hotel with Rob Sibthorpe, Sibby, who's a caller. He did a lot of them with us. We all have full-time jobs. And I can't quite believe how we managed to do it. And after a while, I suppose it took its toll, and I really couldn't face doing another year of it. So I opted out. And I stopped playing altogether for 10 years. I had my own business, and then I sold that. And at the age of 40... I remember putting an advert in a folk magazine and getting quite a few replies, one of which was from a band in Newbury called The Life of Riley. They have been approached by Martin Rushent, who is quite a famous record producer, produced bands like Duran Duran and so on. And It was at the time of the Newbury Bypass saga, when they couldn't make up their mind whether the bypass was going to go to the west or the east of Newbury. And there were a lot of protesters there. And well, someone had written a song, Martin Rushton, wanted to put together a sort of folk rock band. So I was recruited to go and join this band, and I met, this is where I met Paul Sartin, who is the other half of Belshazzar's Feast, and he was a choral scholar, a lay clerk at Oxford, at the university, the cathedral. And so the two of us hardly talked to each other through all these rehearsals, which was held in a sort of a container in a field in Oxford. We met with this, it was a six-piece band. So Paul and I never really talked, and we did our first gig, and that was the first time we ever spoke. And we were with the Life of Riley for about 6 months. Oh, I have to say as well that the bypass plans were passed, so the idea of a protest song of any description was a complete waste of time. So we didn't make loads of money, and so we just left the band. There was no money in it, and we sat playing in my house one afternoon, and we sat playing all these tunes I knew. He joined in, and we immediately had this kind of chemistry between us with music. Thought that's it, we'd start a duo together. And so this comes back to Sheila Mannering now, because I was at Whitby Festival, bumped into Sheila, and she told me, oh, I run Sidmouth now, I do this social dance. I'm responsible for the social dance at Sidmouth. So I said, well, could we come and play? So she said, yes, you sure you want to play for social dance? And I said, well, I don't know what you mean. Why wouldn't we, you know? Well, we sort of found out a bit. So we went along to Sidmouth in, I think it must have been about 1997, not knowing anything about the social dance etiquette. Both of us could sight read, we were trained musicians. So we just played the music the way we felt it should be played, and we were with callers such as, our first caller we worked with was Andrew Shaw, who I consider to be a modern day dancing master. I've always felt that. He's meticulous in his preparation. He's one of the few callers who works completely without notes. He's researched the dances, he's re-choreographed the dances, and he's one of the callers that's very, very fussy about the way people dance. And I really like that, actually, because I quite like the music to be, you know, interesting and important. And he felt the same about the music. So we both gelled almost immediately. So after the first dance, he took us for a drink at the Radnor Arms, right opposite St. Teresa's Hall. By the way, it's the only time he's ever bought us a drink. And he said, are you serious about this music? Because we've been having a lot of fun, you know. And so we said, well, why not? So he said only he collected and he had researched and I suppose re-choreographed in some cases a lot of the dances by Nathaniel Kinniston. A lot of his dances appear in the Dancing Master as well, but he'd gone to great lengths. So he brought out, he had a number of dances that had not been recorded, and he put them into a book, asked us to record an album of Kinniston dances, which is what we did. And then we did volume 2. And I think it was in 2000, his dance group, or he was invited to run a course here at Horsway. And I believe that's the first time we played here. And so it would have been about 2000, in February 2000. We have played for Andrew Shaw at Horsway every February since, that's 15 years we've been playing for the same week, and it's gained immense popularity, and we get people from America, from Europe.
Is that all?
There's always a waiting list. It's always Playford or Kinniston, yes. It's that kind of, he'll throw in some modern day dances in that style, I suppose, as well. Mm. So there are modern day dances by people like Brooke Friendly and Chris Sackett. So that was it. So that's how we met Andrew, and that's how we arrived at Horsey. So I think for 3 years we did it as Belshazzar's Feast. And then Paul and I had a break of a year and a half. John Hymas, who I was working with in another band called Hoover the Dog, I asked him if he'd step in and do it. And I have to say, at first, Andrew Shaw was very upset because he had brought out a second volume of his dances along with the recording. And then Paul and I went our separate ways. And I think he felt that it was really bad news, the end of the world. And then, of course, he heard John Hymas play, who's a fantastic violinist. And since then, John's been doing it, which says a lot. You know, I think that Andrew totally accepted John. So there we are. That's why we...
So the lineup of Belshazzar's Feast is...
Paul Sartin, yes. Who plays violin and oboe and sings, yes. And myself, just the two of us.
Oh, yes, because I heard you in South Petherton recently.
Oh, that's right, yes. That's right.
Yes.
So we used to play for social dance, and from social dance we went into concerts. And in fact, we sort of went the other way. We went away from dances and played for concerts. When we got back together again, I think we've probably only played for about 3 dances since. But we are doing Sidmouth this year, and... Broadstairs, so we're slightly back on the fringes of it again.
So who else do you play with?
Well, John Hymas for dancing, yes, and also Linda Burt, who lives at Tiverton.
Yeah.
And then more recently I met up with Karen Wimhurst, and Richard Heacock. The thing is, when Paul James first came here, we had a long chat about what we considered to be a slight sort of, I don't know, it felt like social dance had got a bit stuck, if you like, and we felt a need to be pushed on and reinvigorated. So I think Paul James came with the title of Play for Liberation Front. So we formed a 6-piece band, and it had Karen Wimhurst in it, myself and Paul James, Chris Green, fantastic guitarist. We had a bass guitarist from Coventry, Wayne Matthews. And we had floating members who came in and out of the band as well. And so that's what we did for a while, trying to reinvigorate the dance. Because I think it seems that there's quite a few of us with a great love of this sort of genre of music.
Yes.
And this style and era of music.
Yeah. So was that the name of the band?
Play for Liberation Front, yes. And since then, there's quite a few other people doing it now. I don't think we necessarily started it, but I think we helped push it, a bit more. And because Boldwood have been here for a while, and Richard Heacock, for example, who's here this weekend, also has played with them from time to time. So that's the way it's gone.
I was just wondering. So you trained as an organist and playing in church.
Yes.
Had lessons for that, presumably.
I did, yes. Yeah, and I have formal piano and organ lessons, yes.
So do you ever go back into classical music at all?
Well, I feel that playful music is classical music. I mean, a lot of it is written by the likes of Purcell and Jeremiah Clarke. So it is really, I'm not sure it's particularly folk. It's really quite different to folk in a way. But I think what we're trying to do is make it more folky, in a sort of way, giving it some rougher edges and maybe making it more accessible. But I think some of the tunes are just beautiful, actually. And so, no, I think classical training has helped, if anything. And that comes, again, my accordion playing is very different to a lot of other accordionists, because I try and play it perhaps in the style of, sometimes a church organ or a harmonium.
And I
love it when people come up and say, I've never heard accordion play like that. And I think, no, because I don't like accordions very much. So I've always wanted my accordion to sound like a violin or... So when I first started playing for Kynaston dances or Playford dances, I used a lot of pedals or drones because that was, I suppose, a way I felt of kind of anchoring the tune a bit. And also I was influenced perhaps by other instruments such as ely and pipes. And I remember seeing the Bothy Band when they first came over and they played at Hammersmith. I'd never heard of them, but I just saw there was... And I was really into Irish music in those days. I remember watching them and they had an ely and pipe player. And the second time through the tune, suddenly in came this drone, this chanter. And it just made the hairs on my neck stand up. And I thought, I want to do that. So from then on, I've been... putting pedals in here and there. And I think a lot of people say our initial foray into Kynaston music were lots of drones, probably far too many. But at the time, I couldn't think of another way of accompanying the tune on the left hand of the accordion. And then I discovered there are lots of other ways of doing it, which is what I'm trying to do now, which is pass it on.
Yes.
So after playing for Andrew Shaw for a number of years, I then was invited here to teach accordion and to do music workshops here with ensemble workshops. And now I do this all over the place. I'm also employed by the English Folk Dance and Song Society to teach in London. So I teach, I have been doing for the last 6 years.
Yeah. Cecil Short House?
Yes, yeah. So I'm the resident accordion tutor there. So, I mean, I love coming to Horsey and I love going to Cecil Sharp. It feels like home, you know.
Yes.
This definitely feels like home. Because
yes.
I was here 3 weeks ago and I'm here again in 3 weeks' time. So I think I should have my own suite.
I should work on that.
Thank you.
Is there any chance you could give us a little tune?
Yeah, I'd really like to, as a matter of fact. And I'm going to play a tune that I wrote.
Oh.
And this is a tune called Shapik.
Now, and whether we need to move that away slightly,
we'll try.
We'll see what happens.
So, because more recently I got involved in writing tunes, I think sometimes because I was given tunes to play for dancing, which I thought were quite poor, and I thought, I'm sure I can do better than that. Maybe I can't, but anyway, I just started writing tunes.
Are you happy for me to take a picture of you at the same time, Paul?
Of course.
Thank you.
So this is a tune called Shapik, and Shapik is a little village. I used to live there. It's between Blanford Forum and Wimborne.
One down our way as well, then.
Yeah, there's lots of Shapiks there. I drove past it only last week. And, well, this is a different Shapik, and it's largely owned by the National Trust. And I have one of the few houses in Shapik that wasn't owned by the National Trust because they sold it off after the hurricanes, because the local National Trust building, Kingston Lacey, was damaged. A lot of the trees were blown down, so they needed funds, and they started selling off the occasional property. And so this one, my house, was freehold. So this is it anyway, Shapik.
Thank you, Paul. That was lovely.
Well,
cheers.
Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.